Goedemorgen, good morning. We are busy in what may be seen as a series. I don't normally deliberately focus on a series, but this is unfolding in an amazing way. The last few months, in fact, from the beginning of the year, when we started in the Garden of Eden, and look where we are now. And I trust that the word is gripping your heart and finding entrance where the hearts are hungry. And it's more than just a few good ideas, but it's something that grips your heart and affects your journey and, in God. And I can tell you, for me, it is a very special experience just to spend time in the Word and see how God is opening up a whole course and in a sense, reminding me of things that God placed in my life more than 40 years ago, which are now opening up on a whole new level. And that is an amazing experience. I'm so intensely aware of the fact that the heart's cry of every grace carrier in this season, ministry that God has called, is to see the Word change lives, bring you on a course of victory, break the humdrum, boring lifestyle of yesterday and last year, and put you on a very focused course, connected to God's divine purpose for your life. And for that, you know that to listen to it on Sunday morning and that's it is really not enough. You've got to get this. Yeah, there's a lot of time going into giving you the summary every week, so you get that on paper, but it's also on the website and it's also on Facebook to reflect on it and maybe go through it again, because that's the heart's cry. That's my heart's cry, is that this will serve a purpose in your life. It will equip you. It will enrich your walk with God. Now, We talk about a journey with God. We talk about a walk with God. And this morning, I'm going to focus on a few scriptures that call this a race. A race. In Afrikaans, a resies. Let the hele met seker maak wat ek bedoel met race. We are in a race. You may have a slow, relaxed way of walking with God, but actually it boils down to being in a race. How many of you are aware of that? How many of you can feel, yep, that makes sense? We're running a race. What would have been nice for me, for all of us this morning, is to have one of those champions that has the World Cup for running the 100 meter or 200 meters. I want somebody like that to come and tell us what a race is all about. There are certain basic points that you should take into consideration. But let us start with Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, the Amplified Version, please. Hebrews 12, the first verse. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, how many of you know who the cloud of witnesses are? Do you know who they are? How many of you know that your parents are somewhere in that cloud of witness, or your spiritual leaders of years ago? Are you with me? Okay. That's a good picture language. Many people think heaven is way behind the furthest galaxies in the heavens, but Heaven is another dimension. It's another dimension. It's on a different frequency. And actually, this room is full of voices, full of movement, which you and I can't see. And the cloud of witnesses is described here. Listen to that. Those who have borne testimony to the truth. See, since we are surrounded by them, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, which is an unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. Let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Wow, that's a mouthful. Run the race without, let me repeat that, without that the encumbrances of unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. I mean, if you got this, you can go home now. That's the sermon this morning. But just hang on. We're going to expand it a bit. Now, you will agree with me. To run a race, you've got to have the correct starting place. Can you picture the course? Normally, around a rugby field or something, they have the course. And you've got to be positioned in the blocks, the starting blocks. Are you with me? You can't just start running somewhere, wherever you are. You've got to get to the correct starting place. What does that mean spiritually? When does your race really start? All right, ek gaan julle bietjie prikkel hier vanoggend. Julle moet maar gereed wees. I'm going to throw some seeds here. But for now, when does your race start? Where's the starting place? Once you have come to the place and you received God's grace and forgiveness, you're on the starting place of your race. You can't start before then because you're off course. How many of you remember that little graph we normally have? Starting with Adam, then the fall of man, then the recovery in Christ. Only when you have come through the fall and have been recreated in Christ, then your race starts. Now you're in the blocks. Unfortunately, so many Christians are happy to be and have party at the starting blocks. They feel this is all I need. I'm saved. I've escaped hell. I thank God. I'm forgiven in Christ, and that's where they settle. Now that is actually your starting point. That's where the race begins. To run the race effectively, you've got to be free of sin consciousness. Because sin consciousness will keep you tied to the past. It'll slow you down. It will slow you down. So I want to make that clear, rub that in. First things first. Before you start the race, get placed on the race track. Daar begin jou races. I can ask the question now. Are you sure you have been and you started at the right place? Are you sure you've come through? We've sung some songs here this morning about the cross. Have you been there? Have you received God's grace and forgiveness? Are you free to run the race now? Because this verse we've read talks about sin that so readily and so easily clings to us and entangles us. Let us run with patient endurance on this appointed course. There are many things the enemy is trying to slow us down, to hold us back. And if you can't identify those, your race will be affected. The pace of your spiritual growth will be affected because you will be sort of tied to something in the past. I'll say more about that in a minute. A few other things to remember before you start this race. Now, I'm talking to people that have been on the starting blocks and you've been running this for a while. I know. Some of you have run it, what, 10 years? 20 years? Let me see the hands. How many of you have been on this road 20 years and less? Let me see your hands. You're on this race track. All right. 30 years. 30 years. 30. Rechtig. Okay. 40 years on this track. On the race track. 50 years on the race track. What? 60 years. On the racetrack. Ek praat nie van jou ouderdom nie. On the racetrack. 60 years. What I'm talking about this morning is more than quoting a few scriptures. I've been there and I'm still in it. I know about distractions. I know about cross currents. I know about challenges. And one of the things we have to learn on this race is to overcome our fears. Die vrees. Vrees gaan jou terughou. You've got to overcome whatever the fears may be. Overcome fears. Is you with me? And throw off every unnecessary weight of the past. Nou moet jy hierdie goed nou mis nie. Many of you carry weights that have to do with the past. One of the ways to deal with that is to understand forgiveness. If you cannot forgive, it's going to slow you down. It's going to affect your pace in this race. Forgive. Now, if there are things that you have to set right, God says, I'm not going to let you run until you have corrected this and this and the other. God will speak to you. God will speak to you. But then there comes a time on this journey, this race, that you have to let go, forgive, and move on. Set your eyes on the goal and run this race. And the way to do this, number one, and it's been coming the last few weeks, set your eyes on the ultimate goal. Please, set your eyes on the ultimate goal. What do I mean by that? Well, some people confuse vision, God's plan, they confuse that with my ambition. Your ambitions will slow you down. It will focus you in the wrong direction. Let me give you a few examples. Say you have this dream or vision to one day climb the highest mountain in the world. Now, we've watched television and interviews with people and how they battled and how they practiced and how they, because you can imagine before you can climb, I'm not even talking about Mount Everest, nor Kilimanjaro in Africa. Before you can even try and climb that mountain, you need to become fit. As you met me, you're going to become fit or else you're not going to make it. So that may be the dream, the goal of some people. One day I want to climb the highest mountain. Okay, now, you've practiced. You've visited your doctor several times to check everything. And that day arrived, and you climbed the highest mountain successfully. Question. So what now? Okay, you've reached it. So what now? What do you mean, what now? I've climbed the mountain. What now? What next? Do you follow what I'm saying? An ambition can lock you in and short from the ultimate connection with God's ultimate purpose. Let me give you another example. Pastors, churches may have a dream of one day having an amazing church building. A beautiful building. From the outside, the inside, extra halls, prayer rooms, and in the prayer rooms, all the pictures of all the saints of the last 500 years. I know people like that. I've known people like that. Their dream was to have this fantastic building for the church. Okay. Through miracles and provision and what. You get it. You get your building. So what now? What next? You got your building. Can you see what I mean? It's short of the ultimate purpose that God has in mind for you. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to want that. I'm not saying it's wrong to achieve, climb the highest mountain. It's not wrong. But God forbid that that becomes your vision, because you will never grow beyond your vision. You'll never go beyond your vision. That's why what we've said the last few weeks is critically important. Adjust your life and your focus to get God's ultimate vision in your sight for your life. It's going to affect your decision-making processes. It's going to affect the way you run this race. In 1 Corinthians 9 from verse 24, we find this. 1 Corinthians 9 from 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Now, there's two ways of looking at that verse, but let me complete. Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, this is Paul speaking, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. Now you may say, we all run, but only one is going to win the prize. Who's that going to be? Is it me or somebody else? Now, get perspective here. We all run in a race. The way I see this is in successive generations, like a relay race. A relay race consists normally of a few, four or five persons, right? The final guy is the guy that crosses the finishing line. Now, if he's the one there first, is he the only one that gets the prize? The whole team does. The whole team. Die hele aflosspan word gesien as die wenner. The way I interpret this verse is through the eyes of Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. Verses 39 and 40 of Hebrews 11, where it talks about those who died in the faith, believing, but without receiving what was promised. You may look at that and say, well, they failed. They didn't make it. They wasted their time. They wasted their life. Hold it. Hold it. You must read that very, very carefully. I had to tell myself that over and over the last 10 years. Many, if you read Hebrews 11, talk about the heroes of faith. People that lived, the faith heroes, if you will. Many of them died without receiving the prize. But here's the key. They died believing. Then the last verse says, for without us, they are incomplete. We will perfect those who died before without receiving, but they died believing. There's the next person in this relay race must complete them by not stopping along the way or losing faith. You and I, do you? I wish you could not see the seriousness of this. Do you know what responsibility is resting upon us, this generation, upon us? It's not just about us. Come on, say it. Say for me, it's worry about what I say. It's not just about you. Not just about me. There's a whole generation previously and generations that depend on us finishing the course victoriously. I know the man that had fatherly input in my life for many years, way back. He said something like this. He said, if I don't make it, and that man gave himself, his life, he gave himself for this race from the age of 14. God called him into the ministry. He impacted thousands and thousands of people's lives. And later in his life, he started saying things like this. He said, if I don't make it in this life, at least my body can be forming part of the stepping stone to get the next generation into victory. If you follow the picture, I use the picture. It's like, jy trap is nodig om oor die muur te kom. They say, all right, my body can be part of the steps that will help the next generation. That's the thing we should never lose sight of. It's not just about us. We're running a race, and there's a cloud of witnesses waiting. Don't confuse your ambitions with his goal. Many people do the same with salvation. They say, I'm saved. Now I'm saved. No more. I'm saved. Is that enough? No. You've just reached the starting blocks. Now your race is about to begin, but you say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Jesus saved my soul. That's not enough. Let it become a means to receive or to reach your ultimate goal. Don't stop there. Here's a warning. We must learn from Lot, Abram's cousin. You know what Lot did? And this is a serious warning. I've never seen it like that. And it comes out in the King James translation in Genesis 13. It says about Lot, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Why? And that's when Abraham left him. God says, this way. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And you know what happened in the end. You know what the word sodomy means. You know what happened before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Many times, people are on this race, but they pitch their tent in the wrong direction. What does this mean? They have certain inclinations, certain opennesses too, whether it is sex, whether it is food. He says, there's something wrong with eating. No, but there is something wrong with overeating and eating the wrong foods. Asseblief, moenie laat ek hier begin 'n dwarspoor. You know the thing that gets to me, oh, here we go. As people eat the way they like, they eat as much as they like, and they run to God for healing every now and then. Here I help toch asseblief, ek kan nie meer loop nie. You know what I mean? Why don't you start by doing your side responsibly? Sodom pitched his tent, Lot, towards Sodom. And you know what ended in the end? He lost everything. He lost everything. Some people have an openness to alcohol. Okay, moenie skrik nie. We are not legalistic. But I've seen people that have no self-discipline. And they keep that door wide open. And then they can't understand later in their life that they become addicted. And that thing overcame them. The same with drugs. I don't even have to tell you that. Learn from Lot. Run this race with a focus. And eliminate distractions. You don't need it. Ja, broer, maar dat is zo lekker. Listen, you don't need it. We're running a race. And if we don't run this race with a determination and a commitment, if you were the enemy, won't you do everything you can to distract people on this race? He will do anything to get your attention to the wrong things. That's his purpose. To distract us from the race. If you have certain inclinations, watch out. The enemy wants you to get hooked. Hy wil jou. Hy wil jou van die spoor afdwing. A man will never live beyond his vision. One more principle. God's purpose in your life unfolds like a little flower. He normally gives it to you in the form of a little bud. And as you progress, the flower opens up and you get a clearer understanding of God's purpose in your life. I can write a book on the way it happened in my life. I can write a book. I didn't fully understand what God's purpose in my life was 44 years when this journey started. I was saved long before then, but when God called me and connected me to purpose, I did not have a clue about the fullness and the way this is going to develop. I did not. Normally when God calls somebody into the ministry, you think it's about starting a church or getting a place in ministry where you can preach every Sunday. God forbid, if that's what it's all about, I don't want it. Who wants that? I know people. Their ambition is, I want to have my own church so I can preach every Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. But where are you going? What is your ultimate purpose? Maybe God is wiser than we think. I have a feeling. If God told me the full detail of where my life would go, I may have backed out. I didn't know the extent in which it was going to open up. And I want to say the same to you. God wisely gives it to you in a small little flower form, and gradually it'll open up. But I want to encourage you this morning, each one of you, look in my navy blue eyes. Come on, look at me. I want to encourage you. Make time and find out, why are you on earth? What was God's plan? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, God prepared works for us to walk in. He prepared it beforehand, before we were born. God said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I had a plan for you. And the same is true for each one of us. Don't ever think you're an accident. Don't ever think your mom and dad didn't plan you and that's why you're just a bummer. No. God knew. He knew. And he had a plan. Listen to this. Philippians 3. This is Paul speaking. Philippians 3 from verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The goal pulled Paul. Put yourself in Paul's shoes. Look at the God encounter that he had that started his race when he was still persecuting the church. And he had this God encounter. What an amazing encounter. But then look at his life. Twice he received, 39 stripes on his back. How many times in prison? How many times in trouble? How many times? What does he say? He says, I press on towards the goal. I mean, he wasn't saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I said yes. No. He said, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Ek wil julle vir oggend uitdaag. I want you to wake up. Is there in your heart an excitement, a reaching forward to what lies ahead for you? You know, how many of you can say, yes, there is? All right. 83% of you still are without that excitement and that expectancy. So life is just, oh, well, I exist. I'm saved. No, it's not only about that. God has a plan for his sons. And through his sons, he wants to put himself on display in the world. You know how my brain works. Let me tell you, that's just me. Whenever we drive through big cities and I see developments, I see new complexes, new massive developments. And I'm thinking, Lord, but is this going on and on and on? When is it going to end? Hulle gaan maar net aan. In my heart, I know there is a conclusion somewhere. I know somewhere and somehow there's going to be a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth. Now, although I know God sovereignly can do that by one breath, one blow, whoop, but God wants us to participate with Him in the formation of a new heaven and a new earth. We don't quite know what that means yet, but it will soon unfold. Our example, when you're stuck, you don't understand, go back to the pattern Son. Go back to the pattern Son, Jesus Himself. If you want to know how, are you looking for the formula? Look at Him first. And listen to this. I started with Hebrews 12 verse 1. I'm now reading Hebrews 12 verse 2. And I'm going to read it in the message. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished His race we're in. He started and finished the race that you and I are still in. He finished it. Study how He did it. Because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there in the place of honor right alongside God. He's finished the race. He's paid the price. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for us. And the New American Standard, it reads like this. Looking away from all that will distract, look at Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's the key for you and me. How many of you feel at this point it's not very pleasant where you are in your walk with God in this race? You feel a bit. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I want you to admit that to yourself. Look in the mirror of God's Word and say, Father, I miss that joy that Jesus had. I miss that joy. Get this. You think Jesus was unaware of where He was going to end? No, He wasn't unaware. But for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, He endured the shame, He endured a lot of inconvenience. So what's the key for us? Look beyond the present pain and inconvenience and see the joy that is set before us. My heart is reaching for that. The joy that is set before us. It's a key. Now, the last part for this morning can take an hour or just a few minutes to whet your appetite. I want to say something because the Holy Spirit is busy with that in me. And I don't want to jump the gun. But there's something coming alive. To such an extent, yesterday I I wrote a long message to Dr. William Hinn. I said, look, I need to hear what you think about this, how you see this, how you see. I just, there's something opening up in my heart. And it's about the word, remember. Remember. Everybody say remember. Let me hear you. Remember. That word is linked to the word revelation. Both starting with R-E. You know when you say reenact, you must do it over. Repeat. You know the R-E. So remember and revelation are linked. Now I'm going to, this will grow in the hearts that are ready and reaching out. When it says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we must walk in that which was prepared for us beforehand. We must walk in that. Now how can you walk in something that was prepared before you were born? The key there is, remember. How do I get there? By revelation. And I'm looking at a verse in the Bible where Jesus was sitting around the communion table and he was breaking bread. He says, whenever you do this, remember me. What does that mean? We're missing it around the communion table if we just come by habit. It's just a ritual. But Jesus said, whenever you do this, remember me. In a sense, it means we were there. How can you remember something if you weren't there? How many of you remember the time you were born? What was the first thing you saw? Well, if you're clever enough, you'll say, I remember this doctor with the white coat hanging on to my feet. No. It goes further than that. In Job, the book of Job, chapter 38, God challenges Job, says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the sons of God shouted for joy. And I feel something is coming alive. When we were created, when God created Adam and Eve, how did he do that? There's a theology that I disagree with that says man was created from nothing. Man was not created from nothing. Man came out of God. We were created from God. Somewhere down the road, by the Holy Spirit, we're going to remember. The word revelation means to unveil. When you unveil something, what do you see? Something that has been there all the time. Revelation is not new knowledge. Revelation is seeing what was. God has put eternity in the heart of every man. Are you with me? God has put eternity in the heart of every man. And that's where I like the message. He says in that same chapter, whatever was, is. Whatever will be, is. That's how it always is with God. Go and read that verse. Whatever was, is. Whatever will be, is. God has put eternity in the heart of every man. Eternity does not have a beginning or an end. Eternity. People say, "Eendag gaan ek in die ewigheid wees." Oh, listen, that's a wrong way of saying. You're not going to be in eternity once. Eternity is in your heart. So when it comes to this race, to focus on the right goal, keep your eyes on God's intention. Guess what? You can hardly do that without remembering God's plan for your life before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I leave this with you for now. We're going to open it up in the weeks to come. We're going to open this up. I believe for something to come which I've never seen before, but I feel something coming alive, because we sometimes manufacture something. We try to manufacture something that God has created long ago. What is needed now is for us to discover by revelation, by remembering that which was. Amen? Let's stand together. My last question. Are we purpose driven or Holy Spirit led? Would you like to be purpose driven or rather be led by the Spirit of God? And that talks about sonship. Romans 8 verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Don't make that word son a cheap word. It's not a cheap word. It's talking about an intimate relationship with God and His Spirit. Daily led by the Spirit. God is Spirit. God is Spirit. And the Spirit knows everything. He knows everything. Led by the Spirit. Father, I pray that this, your Holy Spirit will activate what we need to hear now at this point of our race, that our eyes will open up, that we won't do things just merely by habit or religious habit, but that something will be ignited in our hearts, in the spirit man in each one of us. Awaken the spirit man. Because, Lord, we don't want history to repeat itself over and over and over for the next 1,000 years. We want to be part of a generation, the finishing generation, that crosses the finishing line of this race victoriously with our eyes on Jesus, who has run and completed the race for us. I leave this in your faithful hands, Lord, and your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Do you get this? Are you taking this? Are you saying yes? Yes, it's for me, Lord? Okay. God bless you.